everybody. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and it's my pleasure now to turn the show over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing well. Hey, I want to remind everyone that I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. We welcome you to come on our Sunday mornings. Sunday school's at 9:30. Regular service is 10:30. We have Team Kid during the two Tuesdays out of the month for youngsters, and we have Pastor's Pizza with Pastor for the teenagers. We won't be having Team Kid tonight, though, because it is cold out there. We really don't want anyone coming out. And our phone number there is 740-272. Whoop, that's not it, is it, Terry? That's mine, huh? 740-494-2222. And we are prospectccf.com. Anyway, I want to remind everyone that it's going to be blistering cold tonight, tomorrow through Thursday, I think at about 7 o'clock in the evening, they say. So please, 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 please check on our elderly, our shut-ins, our handicapped, people that are having trouble. And I want to tell you, if you're out there, please, if you are having trouble staying warm, if you're in a dire situation, please don't be too proud to call someone and let them know. So somebody can reach out to you. Somebody can help you. No one needs to be freezing out there the next couple days. I do also remind you to keep your pets inside. Try to keep your car nose out of the wind and all those kind of things to kind of save your car, save your pets, and make sure those kids are bundled up. Although I am happy to hear that we have a the school. Most of the schools in the area are already closed, so that's a good thing.
I learned the hard way a couple years ago. Make sure you have gas in your car.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and plenty of it, yeah. and blankets, yeah. And you know, I was talking with Scott on the show the other day. Make sure that if you get stuck in a snow or somewhere in it, that you make sure your tailpipe's clear if you're going to be idling for a long time, and that those fumes have a way to get out and get away. But you know, we need to keep blankets in our car. Don't just throw on a t-shirt and a jacket and run but down to the store because it's at the end of the block. You don't know what's going to happen in between. They said that with these wind chills that you can get frostbitten like frostbite in under 4 minutes. So, you know, that's bad. Yeah. Especially those little tiny hands that are out there on the little ones. But anyway, I want to welcome everyone to the show tonight. This is a call-in show. If you care to call in, our number is 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in any time during the show. We are a friendly show, and so keep it light, keep it clean, and keep it happy. But good to be here tonight, Terry. We've got a lot of things going on at the church this time of year. So many things we were just getting together to start really planning a lot of our summer events, a lot of youth events, adult events. I know this coming Sunday night we've got the free meal at the church starting at 5 o'clock, and we're going to have pork chops and green beans and cheesy potatoes. That's what it is this week. But anyway, that'll be great.
Can I ask the obvious question?
What's that?
Is Shirley cooking?
Yes.
Oh.
Shirley always cooks.
Oh.
That's her.
That's gonna be good.
that is one of her ministries, and she loves it. She's a wonderful cook, and she's a
I know she takes good care of the kids in the summer too. I know, you know.
Oh yeah, she, you know, she cooked professionally for a long time.
Wow.
And so we're blessed to have her there. She also takes care of our backpack program with the schools. Yeah. We do about 260 some lunches a week for the kids to go home on the weekend that are in need for that. She's great. I you know, and her cooking, I don't have to worry about it being safe. But no, she is a good cook. You know, it's really funny.
And you said that's what, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock at the church, 209 East Water Street. And the other thing we have going on this weekend is, you know, it's Super Bowl weekend coming up. That's if the court doesn't stop the Super Bowl for that challenge that's being made over that Rams game. You know, I got to be honest with you, man. That was wrong.
That was a bad call.
I don't care who you root for. That was wrong.
Yeah.
Just dead wrong.
Yeah, it was.
But those things happen all the time. But anyway,
to go to the floor of Congress, is that a little?
Yeah, it's a little extreme. But there's a lot of odd things to go to the floor of Congress, though, to be honest with you. But anyway, the We're going to have a movie this Sunday night at the same time as the Super Bowl. There's some people that don't watch football, believe it or not, especially in Ohio, you know, but there's still people that don't watch it. And Sunday night we're having a movie, and it's called Risen. And the movie is about a Roman soldier that is charged with, he is charged to do a search to see what really happened to the body of Jesus, and it's after the resurrection, so that it can be disproven that he rose. And he comes, anyway, I won't tell you much about it, but it's a great movie, and we always have some snacks on hand, and it doesn't cost a dime, and we're doing that. We'll start that at about 6 o'clock at night on Sunday, during right towards the end of the free meal time. So that'll be a good time, really.
Man, eating and watching movies.
Oh yeah, free too. Yeah. Can you believe that? Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. Hey, anyway, a few things I'd like to talk about tonight. One of which is prayer. And I've been thinking a little bit about this, and I've been thinking about life changes. You know, we've talked about being the first of the year, getting back into church and doing some things of that nature, and just getting our lives on track. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I tried church and it didn't do anything for me. And I don't know if that's a fair assessment, Terry. I really don't. A lot of people go looking for something that may not be what the church has to offer. You know, what the church has to offer, we are the body of Christ. We are a group of believers that believe in Jesus Christ and his sacrificial offering on the cross for our sin and his death, burial, and resurrection. And that if we believe on him and follow him, that we will spend eternity with him, and he will mold our lives, and we will have lives here on earth that will be the life he chose for us. And I think a lot of times people start to church just wanting something better, or maybe to be a better person. Maybe they're looking for anything better than where they've been. Maybe they've been coaxed into going to church. I don't know. Maybe they're looking to feel better about themselves. But I have to tell you, if you're not coming to the church looking for God to change your life, there's where we make the mistake. See, we can't change ourselves. We can try all day long to be, you know, the Bible tells us all of our own righteousnesses as filthy rags. That means it has to come from somewhere better than us, and that's through Christ. So, you know, I've known people that have come to church and they do what was called playing church. Do you know what that would be? It'd be kind of like coming to church all the time, and you think that church people act a certain way, and they do certain things, so you start doing those things. Maybe you listen to a certain kind of music, you dress a certain way, you on and on and on it goes. Well, then after a while, it gets kind of old because there's never really anything going on. This is an act that you're putting on. It's kind of like, you know, a charade, and it gets tiring.
What's the word to use? A facade.
It's a facade. It is a facade. But the truth of the matter is, if you come empty and you don't put on any acts, you are who you are, you realize your need for something greater than yourself, which would be God, and you seek him. You know, he says that anyone that seeks him, he will not cast out. He says to knock on the door and he'll open it to you. So you have to come seeking God. That has to be what you're seeking. And when you seek God, he'll find you where you are. See, that's what's so really neat about this God and his plan with us is that, first of all, we can't clean up because only God is holy and his Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is obviously holy, the Trinity. So everything else is blemished. Everything's blemished. So no one can be perfect. The only way that you can be clean is by accepting his cleansing blood that he gave on the cross. See, he came to pay for all the sin of the world. So therefore, the only way that I'm going to do what's right, that I'm going to get cleaned up, is through him. I'm not good enough. You know, in God's eyes, if you're one speck dirty, you're dirty. You say, well, that's not fair. No, that is fair. Because then by whose standard do we become clean? My standard, Terry? Your standard? You know, your standard? I don't know. I mean, if there's a degree of filthiness that's acceptable, then who makes that decision? Well, God has made that decision. He said there's no degree of filthiness that's acceptable. So if you lay your filthiness at my feet and invite me to clean that up, I will clean you up and make you spotless and white as snow. Yeah. Now, that's your soul. That's who you are when you give your life to him. It doesn't mean that you're not going to do dirty things. It doesn't mean you're not going to do bad things, because we do. But we strive to do what he wants us to do. And the more that we share our lives with him and answer that call of, yes, Lord, I will, the easier it becomes and the more we understand. You know, I think one of the hardest things for people today, see, I haven't even got to prayer yet, and I said, as we were talking about, didn't I? But I think one of the hardest things for people today is they look at Christianity and they look at people, two things. One is they say, man, I'm going to have to give up so much. If I start going to church, if I give my life, oh, God, my life, you know, I don't want to quit A, I don't quit B. And the other thing is, well, I know people who go to church that are no different than anyone else. You ever hear that one? They're hypocrites, right? Well, I want to address those two real quickly. One is, yeah, we are called kind of hypocrites when you think about it. Everybody wants to do what's right. We can't manage to do that. So if that makes me a hypocrite, I guess I have to jump in that with both feet. The church is a hospital, too. It's a place for saints because God made us saints. Through salvation, he made us that way. But it's also a place where we're broken saints, and we go to be healed, and we go to be ministered to. And that's what the people do that are there. We're not a building full of people that are perfect, that we're going to fall down and make mistakes like everyone else. The wonderful thing is that sin's been paid for, and we know it. And it doesn't give us an excuse to do it. And we don't desire to do it, but we're still going to fall and do it. And hopefully we won't habitually do it and end up uncomfortable and in a bad way, so to speak. But the other thing is about, you know, churches, how am I going to change my life when I have all these things? Well, I have to ask this question. If life is so good with all the things that you're doing, why aren't you happy? Okay? See, I used to ask myself these same questions. Man, I don't want to quit doing this. I don't want to give up these friends. You know, I really enjoy going and taking money on the weekend and just going out and having a blast on the weekend and throw caution to the wind. And it never worked. Things weren't any better. I wasn't any happier. My relationships were no better. They were worse. I spent money that I shouldn't. All those things goes on and on and on. And the thing that you find is you start giving your life to the Lord and understanding his desire for your life, then what happens is you start to suddenly enjoy your own life and you feel comfortable in your own skin. You're not defensive, defending yourself all the time. You're comfortable in your own skin because you know that even though you're going to make mistakes, God's got you. And you know you're going to make mistakes. But you recognize those mistakes and you try to come back from them as quickly as possible. And the main way that we can do that, and I think this is a lot of times where people in the church fall down too, is they'll say, well, I accept everything that Christ has done for me. Well, did you accept it or did you believe it? See, here's the thing. You can believe it with head knowledge, but there's a difference between believing it and accepting the gift and following Christ. And that's what he requires of us, is to follow him. It's a life change. He makes the life change, but we're willing to be changed. You see the difference? And you can believe the right thing all day long, but not act it in your life, not have it active in your life. You know what I mean? I believe that there's a way that I could be unbelievably healthy. I fully believe that. Unless I quit putting the fork to my mouth and start spending some time taking care of my body, I'm not going to be there. You know, you have to be active in what you believe. It's an action. It's not just a passive belief. So when we come to the church, be prepared to have your life change. And people say, oh, my family, yeah, we have generations of this, and you don't know my ex, and you don't know my kids, and you don't know my mom, and this. No, I don't. But I want to tell you, folks, you don't know mine either. And none of us do. And the only one that's ever going to make us whole is Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that. And when you start, as Christ begins to fill your life, there are some changes that are made. You know, Satch Selinger was on today, and he was talking about something, and I was in complete agreement with him on this, that a lot of times when people, you're not defined by what, you shouldn't be defined by what you've done, you should be defined by what you're doing, okay? In other words, people fall down, they make mistakes, sometimes they commit crimes, sometimes they do all kinds of things. But that shouldn't be the end of things, and it never is. See, God offers to restore us fully to the people that He created us to be. Isn't that wonderful? But people have got to let that happen within each other in our society. You know, if you're if you got a bad reputation for something, it doesn't have to stay that way. Now, it's going to require some work on your part, but you know, I think that. A lot of times, the reason that people have failed in the past, fail in the future, is because they believe there's no hope because everyone's just going to define them by who they were. So they throw their hands up in the air. Well, I want to tell you here today that Jesus Christ will never define you by who you are. He defines you by who you are and who you are in Him. And the church needs to do the same thing. You know, I was talking to a chaplain from the prison a few months ago, and he was telling me, he said, you know, I've got these ex-offenders that have been through a program, and they're really looking for a church when they come out, and I'll call the churches ahead of time, give them a heads up, and they'll say, you know, we really don't want them to come here, especially if there's someone that had any kind of sex offense whatsoever. Well, the truth is that sometimes, well, all things are bad. But some things are worse than others, and some people, it's like he said, I would never send someone to a church that I didn't feel could be a productive part of that church and was going to be safe to be there. But yet still people say, oh, I'm waiting on the other foot shoe to drop, you know. And the truth is that we should help them keep the foot from dropping. In other words, find, you know, accept people that have made mistakes. You have to. If we're going to be unforgiving, how can we expect God to forgive us? Think about that. We've got to be willing to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean that you put yourself in harm's way of something, or sometimes people just time out of their situation and they're still pretty bad. That's another story. But when people genuinely repent and come and turn their life around or desire to, I think it's time that then those come around them and help them to do it and help them to be that person they're supposed to be. You know, when Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus and realized what he had been doing to Christians, and Jesus came and told him who he was and what was going on. And you know, Saul had been killing and persecuting Christians. Well, when he went back to Jerusalem, that, you know, there were all kinds of problems. The disciples didn't trust him. We know this guy's reputation. He's just going to sneak in here and try and kill us. And of course, those that saw his conversion, that wanted Christians dead, were ready to kill him because now he said he liked him. It was just a big mess. But there were those that came around him and pulled him aside and groomed him and helped him grow and learn and kind of, in a sense, you could say, coddled him till he was ready to be that bold Paul that we learn about, you know, later in the New Testament and in Scripture. And I think that we need to think about that. But then there's that question, too, of, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying, and God's just not answering my prayer. I prayed and prayed, and what good did it do me? I hear those comments. I just don't know what to do. We've been praying so long and my health's not any better, or the situation's not any better. I have to ask this question. How do you know that it's not any better? How much worse might it have been had you not been praying? See, you don't know what the answer to God's prayer is. It could be 10 times worse and you just don't know it. And you've been praying all this time and being faithful, and He's been answering your prayer. And because you had a different mindset of what you thought the answer was going to be,
you want it right now.
You want it right now. Or you want it different.
Yeah.
And you don't know how God's working.
Right. Yeah.
So we don't ever second guess God.
Exactly.
You know, when you call on God truly from your heart, He's there. He says he is. Now, if you're out there living in a world of mayhem and you continue on doing the same and you pray to God for a quick fix, I wouldn't expect that to happen, because he's not going to be mocked, and he's not going to mock himself. You know, he's not. You see what I mean? Why would you? It's like with your own children. You know,
that if, would go against everything he's trying to.
Yeah.
He's trying to teach.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
You know, if your kids are out there and they're stealing cars, and get going to jail, and they pray, oh, mom and dad, please, mom and dad, you know, bail me out of this one. And at some point, you got to say, you know what, kids, I think you need a couple nights in jail. Maybe you'll quit this car stealing thing. You know, God's not any different. I remember one time I was listening to a pastor on a radio station, and he was saying that a lady came one time, and she said, oh, pastor, she says, can you please pray for me? She said, I found out that I've got COPD and emphysema. I'm a mess. And it's getting worse, and can you please pray for my healing? And he said, are you still smoking? And she said, yeah. He said, I'm not going to pray that prayer. Why would I do that? I'll pray for you to quit smoking and for God to heal you. But you can't throw it back in God's face. You know what I mean? It's kind of like praying. It's kind of like asking God for good health and living in a pizza joint. You know, it just didn't go work.
Yeah. See, there's a lady I work with that she's a cancer survivor in 1979. She survived, and she's still to this day.
Doesn't make sense,
and
does
I
it?
Thought, and she just turned 70. And I thought, what are you doing?
You know, Terry, how do you get people? I see the despair in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of despair with families, with kids, broken homes, marriages. It's just all, it's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
We see it all over the place. And if you talk to any of these people, they're going to say, I really want my life to be different. At what point are they really going to admit that they don't want their life to be different? Well, that's a tough question, isn't it? That could even make people think that I'm uncaring or mean or mean-spirited. And the truth of the matter is, if you truly desire a different life, you're going to seek it out. It's not going to be perfect overnight. It just isn't. I mean, we have baggage based on the mistakes we've made. I mean, we carry that baggage. And we're going to have baggage many times. And things will get better and some things will fall off. But there's some things, because of what we have done, that'll be there. But, you know, when you give your life to Christ, one thing that he gives with that, when we trust him and we have faith in him and we trust him each and every day, he gives us amazing coping skills that maybe we didn't have before. Maybe something that's a problem is not going to be taken away, but it is going to be coped with much easier. You're going to learn how to deal with it. You're going to learn how to have the proper perspective when you are looking at it. You know, my wife didn't, you know, my wife just didn't turn out who she said she was, you know. You know, we've been married 10 years, and she's just not the woman I thought I married. Well, you know what? Find what is the woman you married in her and celebrate it. You know, put that time and effort into your marriage, the real time and effort. Not woe is me, you know, she's not as pretty as she used to be, or she's gained 100 pounds, or, you know, why is she not as pretty and gaining 100 pounds? Probably because you're not giving her the time of day, and she really feels no need to look pretty because it doesn't seem to do much good.
but she's raising the three kids and taking care of the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have very, very, very low tolerance for people that are not faithful in their marriage.
Yeah.
It's something that
That's one of my big peeves also, is it?
It really is, because you know that it's just not fair.
Because
it's
sanctity,
not fair to anyone.
The sanctity of marriage, I mean, when you take those vows, I mean, they should be.
Thank you, Terry.
You know, seriously.
I'm glad to hear someone in
honestly, I mean, for me, I think that, you know, that I've told you this before, but a lot of times I would go out and I would see these guys. I went to school. You see them, you know, they're out with different spouses, and they're, you know, and it's like, what?
Yeah. Be quiet! Don't tell her you saw me here.
Yeah,
you know, get out of my face.
Yeah, that's. I would just literally walk away. What?
Hey, you know what? Speaking of marriage, my anniversary is coming up here in just a few days. It's on the 4th. 4th of February.
Yeah.
We were blizzard newlyweds from the blizzard of 78.
The survival. But,
yeah. This is my 41st anniversary.
41. Congratulations. Yes.
And what a blessing that is.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you what it's been. Oh, has it been peaks and valleys? I bet there's days she just really wanted to strangle me. And there's been more than one day that I wouldn't have mind strangling her either. But the truth is, it's a commitment. You love each other and you stay committed. And I told her, this may sound odd, but I told her when we were a couple of years into marriage and we were talking about adultery. And I said, you know, I have to tell you, before I would ever commit adultery, I would leave you first. And she said, well, that's comforting. I said, well, the point is, I'm not going to leave you, but I could not commit adultery and come home and look at you. So unless I have told you I'm leaving, don't worry about the other side. Because it's not something that has any, I've seen it destroy so many homes and children too. I mean, kids are the ultimate ones that take the brunt of divorce, you know. You've got to think of those kids. And honestly, there's something you got to understand, Mom and Dad, is that when you have those two children, three children, four children, whatever, they're half biologically yours and half biologically his and vice versa. So therefore, that beautiful child you love so much has half of your spouse in them. So if you can love them, you can learn to love that good half of your spouse. I know that seems silly.
Yeah.
But the truth is, marriage is what you make it. It's what you make a decision to do. I think that too many times things are made to look too good. There's too many models on TV. There's too many. I mean, it cracks me up. You know, you go into a beauty shop. You know, I'll go in there and sit down. My wife's getting her hair cut or whatever. And you look at these magazines. And you see these haircuts. Oh, I want to look just like that. Well, you know what? Most of you are not going to look just like that. You might get the same haircut, but you're not going to look like that. Guys, it's the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
You can get those new jeans, whatever the most common jeans are.
Right.
But, you know, they're not going to fit you like they do these guys in the commercials. You know, you're not going to look like Brad Pitt tomorrow.
Yeah.
The point is, love each other for who you are. I mean, honestly, love runs so deep. You know, it's very true to me that a beautiful face can be so ugly from the heart, but a beautiful heart far overshadows any looks whatsoever. I would much rather be with someone with a beautiful heart that was mediocre looking than someone that was gorgeous and was just horrible to be around. And, you know, that's the neat thing about, and I want to tell you this young man, probably not too many young men listening to this show right now, but I know there's grandparents and there's parents that can talk to their kids. But I want to tell you something. When you're out there looking for someone, find someone with a heart. And when you find a young person that has decided that they want to dedicate their life to living a life that Christ has made, God has made, and Christ indwells you. And because, see, ultimately, you have to understand that everyone was designed by him perfectly for a purpose. And when you align yourself with that, the wonderful person that you're going to transform yourself into, you're going to want to be with that person and be around that person. That's what's so important. The world doesn't have it. I don't really understand today when I look out into the world, I see so many people that want it, that want a better life. They say they do, young people that are looking, but they're following the same old thing that fails every time. And it's failed for generations and generations and generations over and over again. When you desire something apart from God, you're in a sense saying, God, you're not good enough. What I have is better. And God's not going to honor that, and he's going to show you that it's not. You know, you look at the high rate of suicide and the high rate of drug issues and amongst people that are extremely wealthy or that have quote unquote made it. You know, you look at some of these people and think, have you lost your mind? You've got the world by the tail and you're out here wasting it away on A, B, or C. It's because the things the world promises us to fulfill us and make us whole don't do it. You know, we have to have God in the center of our lives. Is he still going to let you be a pro athlete? Sure he is. Is he still going to let you be a wealthy person? Sure he is. He's still going to let you do all these fun things, have fun with friends? Sure he is. But what he's saying is, don't make an idol of those things. Put me first, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and Scripture says all these things will be added unto you. Does that mean that if you seek God, you're going to be a millionaire? That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying he'll take care of the things you need. You seek him first and watch your life change. That's what's so huge. That's why I don't understand today people that will put themselves out there, say I'm a Christian first, I love God, God's actively working in my life, but the only thing you ever hear them talk about is economics, racism, all these other things, things that divide us, not things that bring us together. You know what I mean? Shouldn't we be talking about things that bring us together? And a lot of these very people that say, you know, we want to be brought together, I really wonder, because they're always talking about things that divide us. Does that make any sense? It doesn't to me.
I mean, no, it doesn't make sense why they do that, but no. Yeah.
But see, I feel that if you're not living for and walking with God, that's where you're going to be, because Satan, one of his best tools is divide and conquer, and he wants us divided. So if we're not walking with God, that's what we're going to do. And if we fall down that road of getting off the path, I think that it's up to those around us that know us and love us to help reel us back in. And the Bible's clear on that subject, too. You know, that we are to reach out and correct a brother or a sister that's fallen astray and to bring them back. And we just, too many times, I don't know what we're looking for. You know, people go to church and they want to hear the best music and they want to... Is that what it's really about? I think it's about relationship. That's what Jesus is all about. He desires relationship. God desires relationship.
Yeah. Well, how many times, and I'm sure you've seen it a lot, like I say, and you've touched on it a lot, how many times do people have the mindset that, oh, I got to wear my best clothes, you know, which, like you've said many times, is not true. As long as you're there to seek God, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter really how you, but a lot of people have that perception that they're going to be, you know, kind of chastised maybe or something if they don't wear their best clothes or something, and, you know, and...
I think in defense, a lot of that comes out of people feeling they need to give God their best. And if they're going to come in the presence of the Lord, they need to give God their best. But let me correct that for just a minute, okay? First of all, we are the church.
Yes.
The church isn't a building. Yes. The church is the body of Christ. Second of all, every day is the Lord's day. There's one day that was given. The Lord did ask us to take a day of rest. In the Old Testament, it's called the Sabbath. Take the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Sure.
But every day is the Lord's day. So my point being, if you're a believer, you have to understand you're in the presence of God every day. So why would you pick out one day that you've got to dress up? And you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost hypocritical if you think about it. What we're doing when we come into church, what we should be doing, is we should come together to praise God in corporate worship, in other words, with other people, when we're not by ourselves, to praise together.
Mm-hmm.
We're to disciple, to teach one another. We are to correct one another. We're to share in each other's love, each other's joy, in their pain, in their sorrow. We're supposed to be a functional body, as the Bible describes it, a functional body that works together. So there surely shouldn't be much emphasis on what anyone wears. That's what we're coming together for. We're not coming together to look good. See, that's the whole thing. Man looks on the outside and God looks on the heart. So you can come in there as dressed up as you want, but if that heart's not looking good, it ain't good. You see what I mean? You can come in there without much and have a beautiful heart and God's thrilled. I think that you have to be respectful of God all the time. Look, if you're going to be respectful enough to not wear something horribly revealing, on Sunday, I would think you'd respect God to not wear something horribly revealing all the time. Because here's the deal. God can see you wherever you're at. I mean, are we fooling ourselves here? You know what I mean? It's a life. It's a seven-day-a-week thing. It's not a minute-by-minute thing. And I think this is where the world gets kind of upset sometimes. Or what Satan uses. I think some of it's an excuse people use to not go. Like I described at church a while back, it's a hospital. It's not a, you know, it's not where the well come. It's where the sick come. And the truth of the matter is that if we come to church, why in the world we want to act like we're well? You ever walk into a hospital, when you're getting ready, say you're going to go to the hospital, Terry, you just finally got sick and say, oh man, someone take me to the ER. I can't stand it.
Right.
Can you imagine if you would walk into the ER and you walk up to that little window when they say, yes, what seems to be your problem? And you're standing there, and you'd splash cold water on your face, and you put on some cologne, and you combed your hair, had your hair combed real nice, and you're wearing nice, good-looking clothes. You say, oh, I'm just fine.
Why are you here?
Why are you here? We do that at church all the time. We do that at church all the time. If you're broken, be honest. If you're repentive, be honest. If you're hurting, be honest. If you're full of joy, be honest. Share with people your joy. But be who you are and be honest. That's why I don't make a big deal about how anybody dresses coming to church. If you love wearing a suit and tie, bring it on. You know, but if you're comfortable, and please come to worship. Come to be a Christian. Don't come to be a window dresser.
Well, that's what my point was. Yeah, my point was that, is that, you know, it should all be about the worship instead of...
Exactly.
How a person, you know, but I'm sure there's still some factions out there that probably, you know, talk amongst themselves if so-and-so shows up, you know. I mean, they don't know either their backstory or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I think in general, in public, we all are able to do certain things.
I'm sure.
If somebody doesn't desire to clean up around people or wash or bathe, they've got a personal issue that people need to help them with.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's no reason to show up at church without bathing.
Sure.
Being unbathed. Right. I mean, everyone can get a bar of soap. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I mean, really, you can.
Yeah.
But if you don't, if you're in a bad way, even sleeping in your car, please come on anyway. We will get you a bar of soap. You know what I mean? Meet people where they are. Give them the needs they have, but don't judge them by where they are.
That's what I'm saying.
That makes sense?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But at the same time, Terry, there's nothing wrong with pointing out when something's wrong scripturally that's going to help that person. You can't help anybody by telling them everything they're doing is right when it's not.
I understand that.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
You can't help it. How are you going to help someone when you tell them bad behavior is good? You know, that's not love. That's not caring. Caring is to let them know, look, this is where I think you're going off the path, and this is where I'm coming on. Listen to this, folks. I'm coming alongside to help you, not this is where you better get it together. You see the difference? This is where I will walk with you, just as Christ is walking with me to lead and guide me. I'm willing to walk with you. And we don't get near enough of that today. Too many people show up at church and then just go home. And some people don't want anyone walking with them because they still want one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And as long as that's what they want, they're never going to find happiness. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a hard life to live. I know it well because I lived it for many years as a young person. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. And it was, you know, it's real. I'll tell you what, it's kind of sore riding a fence. and it can. And it's a bad testimony to other people because they see it.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't do yourself any good. And you start feeling like you are a hypocrite. And the truth is, do I make mistakes now? I do it all the time. Don't we all? You know, the point is, I'm forgiven. And I have a Savior that wants me to be a better person. And that wants me to succeed in the things He's laid out for my life.
But the million-dollar question, do you learn from those mistakes? Because that's the main thing. As long as you can make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah, but then there's learning, and then there's putting into practice what you've learned.
Learned, that's what I'm, yeah, it's twofold. You know?
It really is. Yeah. It's kind of like on Sunday morning. somebody can say, oh, Pastor had a great message today. Well, that's just fine and dandy. But if you don't take it and apply it to your life, you know, it was just like a like the Bible calls a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It didn't go anywhere. You know, where was it? Yeah, exactly. In one ear and out the other. And you see that. And, you know, I like to ask people sometimes, what was the message about Sunday? And you watch them stumble all over the place. And because a lot of times they just say, that sounds pretty good. And they get up and go, and it's not part of it. But you're supposed to take those things. I love to see the people in church. They're taking notes. Because I know they're paying attention. They're writing stuff down for a reason. And that's important. But, you know, I just, I'm gonna tell you out there, Marion, Ohio, and surrounding communities, that there is hope. There truly is. But you have to make a decision today that you're not going to live the way you're living any longer. I'm going to seek out the Lord. I'm going to find a church that teaches the Bible. I don't understand these churches that only teach part of the Bible, because you know Scripture is very clear. If we don't believe one bit of it, we don't believe any of it. I mean, it's either it's true or it's not. Jesus either was the greatest prophet there ever was, and who he was, or he was a liar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was one or the other. And God's either true or he's not. There is a thing in this world today, and always has been, called absolute truth. Truth is not relative. You can't decide what parts you're going to believe and what you're not. Who was it that... I was talking to a friend on the way here, and he used the term in another conversation we were having, grocery store Christians. Oh. And I thought that was kind of interesting as you talk about it. Because you go in the grocery store, and you pick up what you like. And sometimes you pick some things up and put them back. In other words, so you have Christians that, you know... They're gonna do what they want to do. If they're not comfortable with this thing the Bible says, they just won't do it. And the truth is, either your cart's empty or your cart's full. There's no in between. You know, God says you can't just pick and choose. Either you're gonna believe me, mm-hmm. or you're not. And it's crucial to understand that. But so many of our churches today have decided that in order to keep people happy, they want to back off some things. The truth of the matter is, you're there to keep God happy, not people happy. Mm-hmm. We're there to please God, not to please ourselves. If He wants us to have a better life, we have to understand that comes through Him, not through our own doing. So we are there to worship Him, not ourselves. And people, you know, I'm telling you, you want a different life, reach out and grab it. We'd be glad to help you at our church. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. My phone number at the church, or our church number is 740-494-2222. If I'm not there, leave a message. I will promise you, I will get back with you. I do return calls as long as they're not crazy telemarketers. But I do return calls from everyone, and even at odd times sometimes. But I return calls. And we're also at prospectccf.com. We have a Facebook page of Community Christian Fellowship. But please get in touch with us, because I would love to walk alongside you and lift you up. And I have people that walk with me that would love to walk alongside
Your guidance. You can guide people.
Absolutely.
They need guidance, you know.
People need guidance. They need to, what do I need to, what's true, what isn't.
That's what I mean. You can tell them what they need to, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and even you know, direct you to help sometimes in different things. And,
yeah.
You know, we're told that the greatest thing that we can do is to love. And we need to love people. And the greatest love that we can do is to share the gospel with people so that they will know Christ. That's our starting point. That's point A, folks. And that's where we need to be. How much time we got, Terry? 2 minutes? I want to remind everyone, please check on older people. It's crucial. Things, don't leave pets outside. Check pet water if you have them in barns. Whatnot. There's a lot. I know my kids are dairy farmers.
Livestock and stuff, yeah.
And I used to do that. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a tough time right now keeping them, they're dairy farmers, and keeping milk lines clean and unfrozen. It's miserable. So I'm going to be keeping all those guys in prayer. And last, before we get off, there were three pilot and two paramedics two flight nurses killed today in Vinton County. They were on a rescue flight to get someone on a helicopter. A helicopter went down, and all three of them were killed. Please pray for those families. Please, please. And pray for all first responders and emergency personnel that are out there in this cold weather tending to emergencies. And let's not forget the families of those in Texas that were shot and killed.
Give them room.
Give them room, absolutely. God bless you guys. Have a great week, and I will see you later.
You're listening to